Okay, dearly beloved, sorry for the delay, a few minutes, but let's now worship the Lord. As we sing our first hymn, Psalm 122, verses 1 to 6. Psalm 122, verses 1 to 6. Okay, that's it. Yeah. So which is the button? Which the button? You just stand up.
Just use that button. Okay,
that's it. Okay. Psalm 122, verse 1 to 6. As our pianist, Joel, is preparing himself now to give us the tune. Let's pray. Dearly beloved, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy grace and thy mercy, which enabled us, Lord, to come into thy presence this evening, not of our own desire, but purely on the basis of the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who accomplished this great salvation that is so rich and free, and yet it demands our soul, our life, and our all. As we worship thee, O Lord, we confess that we are unworthy to come into thy presence because of the tendency of our hearts to do things that are not pleasing unto thee. So if there's anything that is amiss in our hearts or wrongdoing, or things that displeases thee, or sin of omission and commission, please be merciful unto us. And be gracious to forgive us and cleanse us of unrighteousness. Thank you that you demonstrated your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And this we are forever grateful. Lord, we lift up your name in our midst. Continue, Lord, to be exalted in our individual hearts as our God, our living God, who is in control of the whole universe and every events of our lives. You know them. You are compassionate to meet all our needs, even through thy parentage and mercy. So tonight, Lord, we love your name again. We look unto you for help. If you don't bless us, O Lord, we cannot even sing in our hearts here this evening because of your help, because of your power of your Holy Spirit ministering to us and quickening our minds and our hearts to worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness and in spirit and in truth. Make our heart responsive, O Lord, to the great claim of your word to our souls. And please meet all the spiritual needs of thy people today through thy words. And also, Lord, those who are yet to be saved, many, many long times, O Lord, years pass, they are still not able to meet the lost conditions. And the confines of this room, please speak and draw millions of people and thousands of people to thy people, preaching of the gospel to thy people, servants and people, church. Please, Lord, bring the fear of God throughout the land, so that, Lord, we do that, our Lord. Needs of our country, minister to fear God as their Lord and Savior, and those who does not do so, will you please captivate their hearts, and even our Prime Minister and all members of the Parliament, will you please, Lord, meet their spiritual needs, save souls, their souls to Lord Uda, who is still lingering and hardening their hearts. We remember those who died, pour out the precious their blood for the country in the last war and First and Second World War. We do not forget them, O Lord, because they have sacrificed their lives as well for the freedom that we enjoy today. Will you please continue to help us to remember them? And their families who are not yet saved, will you please, Lord, save them also to the uttermost. So bless every part of our worship this evening, that thy name will be glorified and our needs will be met in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for his name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We will sing our second hymn. Which is a second psalm, which is Psalm 73, 1 to 9. Let's continue to voice our prayer. Those who are not able to say their prayers, maybe one or two will do, because time is moving on. So those who are really ready to voice out their praises and thanksgiving to God, please do so now, so that we'll not be running out of time, chasing the time. I'll pray shortly before you do. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Heavenly Father, we confess in many ways. We are unprofitable servants. But because of thy mercy, O Lord, you rescued us from that condition of our hearts. You continue to encourage us and draw us to yourself. Unless you do this, O Lord, we will remain just doing things that are not pleasing unto you. So help us not to be envious of the prosperity of the wicked, but help us, Lord, to be truly satisfied with what you give day by day, the food that you give us day by day, the home that you gave us, the house, the roof that we have, and the clothing that we have. May they be received and used for thy glory, not because of our desires, but may we praise thee and thank thee as we should, because we are all dependent upon your grace. So please reshape us, Lord, and continue to mold us according to thy will, rather than the will of our own self. So that, Lord, if we'll continue to do our own will, we will be frustrated and continually disappointed. And you don't want that to happen to us, O Lord, because we are your redeemed people. So help us to continually rejoice in the God of our salvation, and to be obedient to his will, and to walk close to him, and to know more of him who loved us and gave himself for us on that cross of Calvary. Hear our prayers, Lord, as our sisters and brothers, some of us now will continue to echo their praises and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 So, sisters, or even brother who is here, or even Brother Joel, want to say his prayer, your prayer. That will do.
Heavenly Father, thank thee that we come before thee this evening through Christ's name. And Lord, thank thee for what he has done for us upon the cross. Help us to not forget it. May it be the center and focal point of this evening's worship.
Yes.
Thank thee, Lord, that the whole of thy word, the whole of the definition of hope is based around the cross. And thank thee, Lord, for what Jesus did and performed then. Thank thee for the way in which he made a way possible between thyself and ourselves through him, thank which we aren't cut off from thee. We're not cut off from thy mercy because of Christ. Thank thee, Lord, that because of him, we have hope. We have a lively hope, an eternal hope. Yes. And please, Lord, help us to, Father, nothing else matters than the fact that we are able to be right with thee.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Lord, if there have been those who are right with thee this evening, those who are conscious not having a relationship with souls to an understanding of what them to take hold. And for those of us who have accepted thy gospel, please, Lord, would thou strengthen us for this life which thou hast given us to live. Please bless thy servant and bless him as he proclaims thy word this evening. Please grant him clarity and an unction from on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just one more, please. You're ready. From the ladies on the Zoom. Otherwise, we'll ask Sister Mary if you want.
Yeah, okay. Taylor, we do thank you so much for the Salvage Psalm, which highlights the times when we forget all the things that you have given to us, and we just envy the prosperous and successful Lord. We ask you, please, forgive us for this, and Lord, we thank you for reminding us through your word that we've got nothing to be envious of, but to the contrary, actually, we are in the better position if we are your children, because we have got all our needs, spiritual and other needs, met for all eternity in you. Amen.
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 We'll sing our last hymn, which is second hymn, I should say, not last hymn. Psalm 73. We sing Psalm 73, verses 10 to 17. Psalm 73, verses 10 to 17. Thank you. I'll ask Brother Joel for the reading of God's word. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 to 21.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen.
Amen. Can I put my computer nearby? Much better. Okay, thank you, Joel, for the reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 11 to 21. Let's pray before we come to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in which you are speaking now to us. Hide me, O Lord, behind thy cross. That people will hear you and not me. I'm just thy mouthpiece, O Lord. Please, Lord, if there's anything amiss in my heart among thy people, please be merciful and gracious. Forgive us and cleanse us of our sin and grant us peace. And humbly bless us, Lord, before thee and make our heart responsive to whatever you will see, sin, and confess, anything that is coldness in our hearts, please revive us and quicken us in a way that will glorify thee and use us in thy, as the clean vessels in thy kingdom. Lord, magnify thy name at this hour. May the people see you speaking right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Second Corinthians, or the book of Second Corinthians, was actually the most personal of Paul's letters. And it emphasizes the encouragement you have in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this letter out of great suffering and trials and pain, and experiencing the preaching of the gospel. But in so doing, he pointed the way to victory over our own feelings that the self would like to always magnify, and also the circumstances out of those feelings that the self continue to magnify, but thank you that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for all our sins. He gave us a new life in him. So as you read this letter, dearly beloved, note how Paul, the Apostle Paul, opened his heart and lays bare his innermost feelings. You can feel it. You can feel it, how he lays bare that innermost feelings. Note too how he trusted Christ to encourage him when the situation seemed hopeless and painful and discouraging. If you have grasped the message of this letter, or if you are about to grasp the message of this letter, then God will be able to use you to be an encouragement to others. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile sinners to himself through his atoning death on the cross. Paul sees his ministry as a part of this divine plan. He served as an ambassador for Christ, imploring others, be ye reconciled to God, in verse 20, if you want to see that again. But note verse 10. In verse 10, Paul reminded the Christian believers in Corinth that, I quote, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. These words were in no way threaten a true believer's salvation, because when you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, your name is written in the book of life. However, these words were a reminder that every Christian life will be judged for how we live our Christian life while in the body. The Lord will evaluate its life and reward its life according to what we have done with it. Paul felt it's necessary to speak this truth to them, because he had just been telling them of the kind of life God expects of those who belong to Christ. The kind of life God wants them to live, and that is the kind of life that pleases him, or the kind of life that we live that pleases God. More than that, God expects us to make pleasing him our life goal. Our life goal. It is our greatest honor and privilege to set a life goal of pleasing him, because it is the purpose God created us and saved us with the most precious blood of his beloved Son, to please him. So it is good for us to learn how to make our goal to please him, according to verse 9 of that chapter in 2 Corinthians. Make it our goal to please him. In Acts 20:35, Jesus once said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a way of storing treasure for that day when it comes for the second time. But you can't store treasure by giving to yourself, which many Christians seem to be in the habit of doing. Instead of giving more of ourselves to serve God, we give more of things to ourselves. You see the difficulty here? You see the things that are not so pleasing unto God when we do this? We give ourselves less to God than most of the time our leftover time. You can do so in pleasing God by sacrificing or giving of yourself to the Lord and to his cause. And so very few seem to be doing that. Paul did not need to defend or to justify his life or ministry to anyone. Yet in the defense he makes of his ministry, we learn what motivated him and the doing of his ministry with such a passion. Let us read verse 11 to 15 again. I will quote it. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men that what he's doing for the gospel of Christ our Lord. What we are is plain to God. We cannot hide from God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is sin rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as it was read a while ago, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. In these words that I just read, we see several things that motivated the Apostle Paul to serve the Lord, to serve the work of God so passionately. We see what gave the Apostle Paul the undying fire of devotion to faithfully preach the gospel and to teach the word of God without tiring all his life. It will be good for us to carefully consider these things and take them to heart, because apart from motivating our own souls, our own hearts and lives, there are also ways to achieve our goal of pleasing God with our lives. Look at verse 11 again. It says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men through the gospel of saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul knew the fear of God in his heart. He had just finished mentioning the judgment seat of Christ, where every child and servant of God will stand to be judged one day. It doesn't mean that he feared being judged, nor the day of judgment. He had the confidence of eternal life and welcomed the day when he would be at home with the Lord in verse 8 of the same chapter that was read. 2 Corinthians. But he also did not fear that day because his heart and conscience were clear before God. Sometimes something he knew was plain to the Lord already, which he hoped would also be obvious to them as well. Yet he says that we who know the Lord, who the Lord is, the Lord who is righteous and judge and truth and just, and who will bring us to accounting on the day of judgment. The Lord whose word is truth and life, or the Lord whose word is truth and life, the Lord, the King of glory, before whom all will stand as his humble and lowly subjects. He says that, and I quote, we know what it is to fear the Lord. In other words, those who know the Lord and his grace, who would live in his presence, to fear the Lord, or to know what it is to fear the Lord, is to live in God's presence day by day and abide by his will day by day. On the other hand, those who do not know what it is to fear the Lord do not live in the presence of the Lord, and certainly do not abide by his will. They live double lives. Pride and arrogance cover them, temptations escort them, sins, repeated sins that they love to do or tempted to do amuse them. They know not what it is to fear the Lord. They call him their friend, one who understands their unnatural desires, one who approves of their perversions or sinfulness, even as they live in rebellion to his will. But when a man or woman lives in the presence of the Lord, they live in the fear of the Lord. They live in respect and in honor of him. I quote the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be your name," is ever on their mind. "Your kingdom come, your will be done," is ever on their hearts. Temptations alarm them. Sin convicts them to guilt and repentance. Forgiveness refreshes them. Faith uplifts them. And love spurs them on. And they call, they all share a common motivation to serve the Lord and his gospel cause. Paul, let me continue, reveals that earnest and sincere motivation to serve God's mission. He says, and I quote, that was already read, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men." This is the very core of his message. The obedience to persuade men with the gospel preaching of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew the Lord personally. He knew the Lord's grace in his own life and the tremendous forgiveness he received himself, or he himself received as a result of the Lord's sacrifice for him on the cross. He knew that he was so greatly indebted to the Lord for his grace. And at the same time, he knew that he was obligated to all people as well. He was especially obligated to serve all people with a gospel message in response to the Lord's enormous grace to him. That is according to Romans 1, verse 14 to 15. Because he feared God and lived in the Lord's presence, he also never forgot the Lord's undeserved and overwhelming grace in his life. And as a result of that, he dedicated his life to persuade men. But of what did he try to persuade men? For what purpose? In his own words, he say, and I quote, "I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds," according, and I quote, to Acts 26, verse 20. Some people treat the gospel message casually, as if it doesn't matter whether they should share it or not, because that's personal. But Paul has a good reason why he didn't hide the light under the bushel, but did his best to persuade people for the gospel. On the day he was commissioned, Jesus told him, and I quote, in Acts 26, verse 17 to 18, Acts 26, verses 17 to 18, Jesus told him, "I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." There's nothing casual about life and death, about light and darkness, about being in the grip of Satan or under the loving, protective hand of the Lord. He lived in God's presence. Paul lived in God's presence, well motivated to obey the will of God. And a huge portion of that was to persuade people for the gospel of Christ. So he preached and taught and whatever else it took to shine the light of God's grace upon their hearts. Those who need motivating to serve the gospel of Christ may need to live in God's presence in order to awaken missions in their hearts. This is a common prayer of those who are called by God, as I'm sure Paul prayed this prayer. Lord, please help us live in your presence, that we might do our share in persuading people for the gospel of our Lord. Look at verse 12. In defending his ministry, Paul wasn't trying to commend himself to them. Instead, he wanted them to take pride in him and in the real gospel work he was doing. They should know that real gospel work isn't a matter of showmanship, nor an outward sort of spectacular ministry designed to impress others, like some false Christians do and brag about it, even disparaging Paul during his time and his work, gossiping him, calling a lot of names. The real gospel done by the Lord is a work of the heart. It's most inward, it's mostly inward and sincere in nature. It is usually unimpressive, as you all know that, and hardly appreciated by those people whom we share the gospel. Historically, it has also often been criticized by a lot of people. And a lot of people around our area as well. They don't even open their doors. They look like that. If we are Christians, they don't open it because they are anti-Christians. You know what I'm talking about? The community in which we are surrounded with. When Jesus did his gospel work, sacrificing himself, pouring out his life in service as a humble shepherd and Bible teacher to the seemingly unworthy and wretched people, even his own family thought he was out of his mind, according to Mark chapter 3, verse 21. In other words, they thought Jesus was crazy. On the other hand, those who made a profit from doing God's work, who live in fancy houses, who wore rich priestly garments, were regarded as normal. That's what they were also saying about Paul and his ministry. Look at verse 13 in what was read to us a while ago. But Paul didn't deny that he was crazy. Yet, if he were crazy, Paul confessed he was certainly crazy for Jesus' sake. A lot of people are crazy for something or other things. Some are crazy for women, girls. Some are crazy for video games. Talk about a lot of young people in their prime age. And we see this in our young people as well. Some are crazy for their pet dog or pet cat. Many are even crazy for money. Paul was crazy for the Lord. And that's worth pursuing, as we see in his life. That is his life goal. He wants to serve the Lord even though what it takes to be crazy for the Lord until the Lord call him to his home in glory. What he meant was that it didn't bother him that he was viewed by many as ordinary and foolish, eccentric and weird and unworthy, rather than to be considered sensible and for his work to be considered spectacular and worthy, being praised by men. Paul didn't mind to be labeled as crazy for the sake of the Lord. But when it comes to serving them, the gospel truth, he was indeed in his right mind. Otherwise, all these letters that he wrote in the book of Acts and all the letters which motivated God's people nowadays to serve the Lord with all their strength, heart, soul, and mind. What else motivated Paul to serve the gospel message with such a passion? Well, look again in verse 14 to 17. For Christ's love compels us. It was that great love of Christ that motivated him, day in and day out. Christ's love is a powerful influence to compel us. Okay, the love of Christ. What is Christ's love? Well, Christ died on the cross for our sin once for all, and then rose again from the dead and ascended to his rightful place in the highest heavens as our high priest. And so whoever accepts Christ's sacrifice personally also shares in Christ's death and resurrection. It's what faith does within us. Listen to this carefully. It brings us to experience Christ's death and resurrection. Are we feeling that, dearly beloved? Rather than just sometimes gospelly saying the blood of Christ, confessing our sins to him, it moves us to really appreciate that willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ towards us anew day by day, and to be moved to share the gospel who are lost, to those who are lost. Through that, we are liberated from the dominion of sin and death. Look at the result of this liberation in verse 15 of that chapter that was read for us. Jesus died so that we who believe in him should no longer live for ourselves, but for him. And in living for him, everything changes. Everything in our lives changes. Do you notice it? Do you know it? Do you feel it? Or do we feel it? To begin with, our worldview changes also. Look at verse 16. So from now on, and I quote, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. In verse 16, before knowing Christ, we make decisions based on our own worldview. But the moment we turn to Christ and die in him and live in him and live in and through him, what happens to us? Look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. When we die in him, in Christ, and then live in him, we are a new creation. More than that, everything is in us is new. We have a new perspective. More than that, everything is in us is new, and our hearts are new. Our eyes are new as well. Our spirit is newly reborn and given wings to see the world from a new perspective. We see and hear through the eyes and ears that have their roots and foundation in the Word of God, the Word of life. Paul, perhaps, greatest burden or blessing in his new worldview and new creation, that we are, and was the burden God laid in our heart, and God laid in him, so that they are written in the letters he wrote for our benefit, to be ambassadors of Christ, to reconcile all people around the world back to himself through Christ, according to verse 21, 18 to 21. Dear beloved, God came into the world through his Son to save the world. All who are reconciled have the high privilege of sharing this message with the world. May God enable us to be convicted, to be like Paul. The first priority that gave his Son to live in this world is to minister to us as thy people, sinners. He gave his life totally without reservation while dying for our sin. And so Paul felt that strongly. And he said, I am ambassador for Christ. I am living to persuade men to be saved in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you in the Zoom, this is Paul saying. He is actually saying and persuading you, even tonight, it may be your last breath, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been isolated for many, many days last year because of pandemic. And now people are looking for fun, which are momentary fun. But the privilege of knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior is today. Please be persuaded to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you know him, and by confessing your sin to him, he willingly forgive them and forget them and give you a new heart and a new mind and a new heart, so that all what you live for is for him, like the Apostle Paul. May God bless you. Amen. We'll sing our last hymn. By singing Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. Psalm 19, please, verses 7 to 11. Let us sing this with such longing that will affect our minds and our hearts and souls. This is the source of the joy of the Lord in his word and God's testimony of a renewed soul as a new believer in the Lord, as a converted person in the Lord, in Christ Jesus. So let's sing it now. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11.
Oh,
Let's pray. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Those who have joined us by Zoom, our worship service is finished, but we are continually alive in Christ and guiding us to be his faithful servant during the week. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Standing, it is very nice.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Good night.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Take care. But during the week, God bless.
Yeah. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you, Joel.
Oh, you're welcome.